بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى ومن يعش عن ذكر الرحمن نقيض له شيطانا فهو له قرين وقال تعالى ومن عرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى وقال تبارك وتعالى من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين لسيدنا الشريف اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد علماء الكرام respected elders dear brothers and all our sisters and those who are listening on the receivers and the audio streaming. Last week, we discussed with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the subject of the retribution of sin in the life of this world already, besides the dreadful punishment of it in the akhirah. In this world, there are many dreadful consequences of sin. Therefore, an intelligent person thinking even about just the worldly harms will do his utmost to abstain and stay away from sin. Allah Rabbul Izzat grant us hidayat and tawfiq and guidance. So, we discussed quite a number of aspects. Just to continue with that discussion so that the reality of it and the impact of it settles into our heart. And that we seriously consider giving up any sins that we may be committing, making sincere tawbah from it, and trying to lead a life of ita'at and obedience to the best of our ability. This is the objective and the purpose of these majalis, is to create that awareness, to create that consciousness, so that we all can come onto a life of obedience, we can come onto a life of taqwa, which is the abstention of sin. So, regarding some of the discussions that we had started last week, just to complete those discussions, I just thought of one saying which I had read many years ago in one kitab written by Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, author of the famous Ma'riful Quran, father of the two great muftis of the time, Mufti Muhammad Rafi Sahib and Mufti Muhammad Taqi Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, and one of the leading khulafa of Hazrat Hakimul Ummat, Rahmatullah Ali, the Mufti Azam of Pakistan, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, one of the great luminaries of our time. Allah Ta'ala had taken such work from him that the mind boggles even today. If anybody gets an opportunity to visit his institution, Darul Uloom Karachi, it is a city within a city. And what knowledge and fares and barakat is spreading from that institution, it boggles the mind that one individual, it is said about Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that he was a very tiny built person. He was not even a hefty, towering person physically. He was very, very tiny built, small built, and despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took this great work from him, and till today the barakat and benefit is flowing to the ummah. The whole bayan can be given on the achievements of Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and his khidmat and services to deen and his akhlaq and his personality. What and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with attributes and qualities. The way he conducted himself with the public, the way he conducted himself with his students, the way he conducted himself with his children. a thick book, maybe 1,000 pages or more, which alhamdulillah we have in our library. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah's biography has been written. Obviously it is in Urdu language, so not many will be able to access that information. But thick biography has been written on the life of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and his personality, his character, his qualities, his ibadat, his taqwa. He was really one of the amazing personalities of this ummah. So Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had compiled a book on little snippets of valuable advices, no particular order. As he would study kitabs and he read a nice point or something of interest, then he would collect it. Like it was like a miscellaneous collection of little points, etc., which he encountered whilst he used to read kitabs or newspapers or whatever. He compiled it into a compilation. So I had acquired this kitab many, many years ago, and I had Allah, by tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala, an opportunity to glance through it, read through it many years ago, and there were some things in there that I found very inspirational. So this evening I just thought of this, and I brought the kitab out, and alhamdulillah, I found the page number 2, which I was concerned that I'm not sure if I'll be able to locate it, because there's no real order. The points are just randomly scattered in the kitab. But by the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, I found the page number 2, and it is Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's compilation of miscellaneous points called Kashkol. And on page 15 of that Kashkol, which is also called Ilmi Jawahir Pare or Ilmi Jawahir Reze, in this kitab of his, he quotes Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. There was a student of Ali radiallahu ta'ala, anhu, his name was Ibn Khira, and he quotes from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that what will be the repercussion of sin in the life of this world. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained it beautifully, the repercussion of sin in the life of this world. And Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali quoted this from Tafsir Ibn Kathir. This is mentioned in Tafsir Ibn Kathir, the famous Tafsir of the Holy Quran. So in that Tafsir Ibn Kathir, it, under the Tafsir of one ayat of Surah Saba, Allama Ibn Kathir Rahmatullah Ali quoted this narration of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu on what is the repercussion of sin in the life of this world. As I mentioned, in the akhirat, that azab and punishment is there. But even in this world, there are different forms of azab that descend upon a person who commits sin. Especially somebody who commits sin as a habit. Somebody who commits sin deliberately. Somebody who commits sin purposely, willfully, with no intention of any tawbah and repentance, with no regret and no remorse. A person blatantly commits sin, then this will be the repercussion and outcome of that act of his. So Ibn Kathir, the tafsir, quotes the saying of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he says, Jaza'ul ma'asiyah, the repercussion of sin is al-wahnu fil ibadah. Al-wahnu fil ibadah, number one. Number 2, وَالضِّيقُ فِي الْمَعِيشَةِ. That's number 2. وَالضِّيقُ فِي الْمَعِيشَةِ. Number 3, وَالتَّعَسُّرُ فِي اللَّذَّةِ. وَالتَّعَسُّرُ فِي اللَّذَّةِ. قِيلَ وَمَا التَّعَسُّرُ فِي اللَّذَّةِ؟ قَالُوا لَا يُصَادِفُ لَذَّةً حَلَالًا إِلَّا جَاءَ مَنْ يُنْغِذُهُ إِيَاهَا. This is the saying of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a short saying. He says that the repercussion of sin in this world is al-wahnu fil ibadah, weakness in ibadat. A person doesn't have the zeal, he doesn't have the enthusiasm, he doesn't have the energy, the stamina to carry out acts of ibadah. He reads little bit, he gets tired, he puts it away. He takes out his tasbih, he reads little, he puts it away. He reads two rakats, he's tired, he can't read anymore. In other words, he becomes weak in ibadat. This is one of the repercussions of guna and sin. That steam and that zeal to do ibadat is taken away from him. Now isn't that one of the worst things that can happen to a mu'min and believer, that the shock, the desire for ibadat goes out of his life? That even though he may inside his heart desire, but he doesn't have that impetus or that energy to carry out that ibadat, the spiritual energy. And number two, وَالضِّيقُ فِي الْمَعِيشَةِ الضِّيقُ فِي الْمَعِيشَةِ. He will experience straitened conditions. He will experience financial difficulties and problems. He will find himself always in a state of financial problems, crisis, always struggling, battling, can't seem to make ends meet, always, you know, struggling to fulfill just the basic needs. And he will always find himself in debt and borrowing from this person, that person, etc. So this is al-dhiqu fil ma'isha. That he will have tough financial conditions. And the third thing, al-ta'assuru fil ladha. Al-ta'assuru fil ladha, he will have a kind of limitation or a obstruction in his enjoyment of whatever pleasures Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him. He will find an obstruction in those enjoyments. So somebody asked, what does it mean that you have an obstruction in your enjoyment? So he replied that whenever any halal ni'mat of Allah ta'ala comes to him, which he's supposed to enjoy, some factor comes that spoils the enjoyment of that halal ni'mat. And he doesn't enjoy that halal ni'mat anymore because something came and spoiled that enjoyment. For example, he may have acquired halal food, delicious food, you know, some dish that he loved very much. And everyone can picture in his mind which dish he likes the most. We won't say any dish because everybody's preferences are different. Right? So, whatever dish a person prefers now, is hungry, that dish is in front of him. And he's looking forward to enjoying that meal. And he takes one, two morsels. And just then, a phone rings. And he picks up the phone. And he gets the terrible news that your son was coming back from, camping in the weekend, Allah forbid, and his accident, terrible accident. Rush now immediately and come. Now here he was going to sit down and enjoy that wonderful dish. And just as he was about to enjoy that halal, now this dreadful news came. The food is gone. The appetite is gone. And now he leaves everything and he rushes and he's gone from there. So this is just one example. That halal ni'mat is in front of him. Any halal ni'mat. And he's about to enjoy, or he begins to enjoy it, but something will come and spoil it. And he loses the enjoyment of that ni'mat, is gone. So these are the repercussions. These are the three repercussion that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, many others that were mentioned last week, but just to give a glimpse of how Sahaba Kiram understood the repercussions of sin and guna and ma'asiyat. Allah Rabbul Izzat grant us tawfiq, hidayat, and give us the ability to stay away from these things. We find also another article which I found that very interesting regarding the repercussion of sins, that what sin does is it leads to the hardening of the heart. The spiritual heart becomes hard. And once the heart becomes hard, then no goodness penetrates that heart. Then also when a person commits sin, then he is deprived from lot of mercies and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the result of it is what was mentioned in the saying of Hazrat Ali is repeated here, lack of courage to perform good deeds. That tawfiq, that courage, that urge, that desire. Like how a person desires to eat some delicious food. He looks forward to having some dessert, some ice cream, some fruit salad, some lovely fruits of the season, chocolates. How he enjoys these things and he looks forward to eating it. If somebody puts it in front of him, he wants to enjoy it, he wants to reach out, eat as to his heart's content. Like that should be the urge for ibadat, but that urge is not there in his heart. And he lacks the courage to perform good deeds and acts of ibadat. He knows it's a good thing, he desires right inside his heart, but he doesn't have the courage to propel him. He does a little bit and then he leaves it. Can't carry on. In Ramadan, we find many people now. The result of cumulative guna, the result of the all the added up guna and sins for the 11 months of the year, the repercussions are felt in Ramadan. Person opens the Quran Sharif, he reads 3-4 pages, he gets tired, he puts it away. Can't read. He knows this is the month of tilawat, but the urge to make tilawat is not there. Like that, so many other good deeds, that a person knows he has to do those good deeds, but that courage to carry those good deeds out is lacking. Then, the second repercussion of sin that is mentioned here is that a person's thinking goes contrary to the Sharia. Now his mind becomes warped and he starts formulating opinions about things that go against haq and go against the truth, go against the teaching of the Sharia. He won't have the ability to discern the haq and the truth. His mind becomes so warped that the truth appears like falsehood and falsehood appears like the truth to him. This is also because of ma'asiyat and guna and sin. As is mentioned in one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned about that nukita fi qalbihi nuktatun sawda, black dots appear on his heart, and so it carries on and on, kalla balrana ala qulubihi ma kanu yaksibun, that the rust and rot sets onto his heart until he reaches that stage that truth appears as falsehood and falsehood appears as truth to him. So what a dreadful consequence of sin, that a person is deprived of the ability of recognizing haq as haq and recognizing batil as batil. Whereas we have been taught in the dua of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna ittiba'a wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba. Oh Allah, show us haq as haq and give us the tawfiq to follow it, and show us batil as batil and the ability to stay away from it. So this is how important it is to know what is haq and to follow that haq, and to know what is batil and to stay away from batil. Then one consequence of sin is lack of zikrullah, or the lack of ability of zikrullah. A person, la yadhkuruna Allah illa qaleela. He will become like the munafiqeen. That was the trait and the hallmark of munafiqeen, that Allah Ta'ala didn't say that they never used to make zikr. Quran is haq, 100% haq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say these munafiqs, they don't even make zikr. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledged that they make zikr, but لا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا. A little bit of zikr they do, bas. That's all. They don't do more than that. Just a little bit of zikr by name to say that we did zikr. Whereas the sign of a mu'min is Kasrat zikr, takthir zikr, abundance of zikrullah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great abundance. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu zkuru Allah zikran kathira. Believers remember Allah in great abundance. Allazina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan ala junubihim. They are believers, are those people who remember Allah ta'ala standing, sitting and reclining. In all postures they are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ability to make zikrullah is taken away from that person. Then one of the harms of sin is dread for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person starts dreading. The name of Allah is taken, he doesn't even want to hear that. The thought of Allah ta'ala, he doesn't even want to bring in his heart. Then the consequence of sin is being deprived of the opportunity to make dua. That person doesn't even make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not even ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas it comes in the hadith sharif, بَلَّمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهَ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. The one who does not ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes displeased with him. Whereas in the life of this world, the more you ask someone, the more displeased they become with you. You ask him one time, he'll give you. Two times, he might give you. The third time, he'll start frowning. By the fourth time, he'll start shouting. And the fifth time, he'll close the door and slam the door and chase that person away. Just go away from here. You only come and ask and ask and beg and beg. Whereas with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more a person asks, the closer he becomes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. The one who does not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. Allah becomes displeased with him. And this is because of sin, that the ability to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken away from that person. One of the consequences of sin is being comfortable with people of bad habits, evil habits. Bad company, you're comfortable in bad company with your drug addicts, gamblers, womanizers, singers, actors, dancers, all these people who, criminals, all these people who indulge in these haram acts, a person feels very happy and comfortable in their company. That is one of the results of guna and sin, that you enjoy evil company. And then another consequence of sin is the blessings of livelihood are taken away, which Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu also mentioned, that al-diqu fil ma'isha, barakat of rozi is taken away. Person may be earning a lot, but it's not enough for his needs. Right? And then a consequence of sin is being in a state of depression. It puts a person into a state of anxiety, depression. That person is always worried, is always fearful. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? A kind of fear grips that person all the time. So that is all the result of ma'asiyat and sin. Allah protect us. One of the great shuyukh is quoted, Shaykh Mustafa Rahmatullah Ali, he wrote that when you get the urge to sin, remind yourself of all these harms. Think of all these harms of sin. If that fails, then think of the ways of the pious people, how they used to stay away. If that fails, remember the disgrace and humiliation that awaits you. If that fails, then realize that you are outside the orbit of humanity, and you have entered into the beastly atmosphere like a beast in human form. You are no more insan now, you have now assumed the form of a haywan, an animal, and you are just an animal in human form. So this was the advice that was given regarding staying away from sin. One of the remedies that are prescribed by the awliya Allah. But before we go to the remedy, just also another advice about Muhammad bin Sirin, rahmatullahi, also about the repercussion of sin. Muhammad bin Sirin, rahmatullahi, was once in a state of death. He was a great alim, great personality. Muhammad bin Sirin was that person who was known as the interpreter of dreams of this ummah. He was overwhelmed with grief because of the debt that he had fallen into. And he said, I know that this grief for this condition that I find myself in is because of a sin which I had perpetrated 40 years ago. 40 years ago. I committed one guna and said, 40 years ago, I realized that what is happening to me now is a repercussion of that guna and sin that I committed 40 years ago. Allahu Akbar. He mentioned that I know that sin has resulted in me falling into debt today, that I am owing people money, whereas I was financially sound. Today I've become a debtor, a person who has to owe people money. This condition has overtaken me because of some sin I committed 40 years ago. And then when it was asked of him, O Muhammad bin Sirin, what sin you can remember that you committed 40 years ago, that today you say that you fell into debt because of that sin, the punishment of that sin that you've fallen into debt? He said, 40 years ago, I called a certain person, Ya Muflis, Ya Muflis, O bankrupt one, O bankrupt one. 40 years ago, I called somebody by that name, like in a taunting way. And today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the recompensation or the repercussion of that sin of mine of calling somebody a muflis 40 years ago. I have now become muflis. Now, one of the sub-narrators of this incident said that I informed this narration to Abu Sulaiman al-Darani, rahmatullah alayhi, and he said, because of their few sins, they knew the reason for getting punishment. They committed such few sins that they could even remember what sin they did and why they were experiencing whatever they were experiencing because of the few sins that they committed. He said, but because of our abundant sins, we don't know for which of our sins we are being punished. We commit so much of sin that whatever punishment befalls us, we don't even know for which sin it was that we are getting punished. Because there's so many sins that we can't even make out the difference now. Which sin, which sin, which sin. And Allah forbid, there are certain people who go to the extent of saying that I don't know what I did wrong that Allah Ta'ala is punishing me. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Never ever should a person, a pious elder say, don't ever say that what sin did I commit that Allah Ta'ala is punishing me. Rather say that I don't know which sin that I committed that up till now Allah Ta'ala didn't destroy me. Until now Allah Ta'ala didn't destroy me. I don't know which sins I may have committed, but it is His mercy that He spared my life and He did not destroy me. As we see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that ayat where that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to punish the people because of their sins, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ, Allah ta'ala would not have left any creature living on the surface of this earth. Allah ta'ala would not have left any creature living on the surface of this earth. وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ أَوْ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have not left anybody alive. But Allah didn't take us to task for every sin that we committed. Therefore, we get away. We get away scot-free. And we think that, okay, we didn't do anything wrong, so why are we getting caught in punishment? But the reality of the matter is, our actions are so rotten that if Allah Ta'ala really had to be just to us, then none of us would have even survived in this world. It is His sheer mercy that He forgives and forgives. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that in that one ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. Very little He takes a person to task for. Majority of the time a person is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should make a concerted effort to stay away from ma'asiyah, to stay away from sin, and to stay away from sin, one of the most effective ways is to stay away from asbab-e ma'asiyah, the factors that lead a person to sin. May Allah Ta'ala reward all our akabir and our mashayikh that they've identified asbab-ul ma'asiyah, the factors that lead to sin, and they've identified them for us. And they said, these are the things that lead to sin. Our Shaykh Arif Billah, Hazrat Muhammad Shaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, mentioned that there are five major factors that lead to sin. These are known as asbab of ma'asiyah. And Hazrat used to say that stay far from the factors of sin, then you will be safeguarded and protected from sin. But if we don't stay away from the factors that lead to sin, then we are going to fall into sin and ma'asiyat. And one remedy that Hazrat himself prescribed in his various lectures and malfuzat, Hazrat mentioned that one should recite in abundance, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, but concentrating on the meaning, not just read it without understanding the meaning, but concentrate on the meaning. That what is the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? What is the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? Concentrate on that meaning. That there is none that can guide me to do good and virtue, and there is none that can help to protect me from sin and vice but Allah. So our reliance is only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His tawfiq to stay away from sin and to do good deeds. Read that whenever a person is feeling tempted to commit sin. Read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah with fervor, with zeal, with passion, with conviction that this kalima has got the power to save me and protect me by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we will find the desire for sin will go down and it will go less. But it mustn't be that a person got a big 1,000-bead tasbih in his hand and he's reading whole day la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, but he's committing every haram and sin. He sees the woman walking around in the shopping malls and he says, la hawla wa la quwwata, look at this woman walking around here. Just see that lady with, you know, mini skirt, and look at that one wearing, you know, such scanty clothing. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Buzruk say that even shaitan reads la hawla wa la quwwata on that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Shaitan makes a mockery that what kind of, this is a mockery of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The la hawla wa la quwwata must not be read in that manner, but it must be read with the true conviction that this is that kalima, that Allah has kept the power in this kalima to protect and safeguard us from sin. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah kanzum min kunuzil jannah. It is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. And it is da'un, it is ati wa tis'ina da'an aysaruhu alham, aw kama qala alayhi salam. It is a cure for 99 diseases, and the lightest of those 99 diseases is depression. That is why the Buzurgan Deen have prescribed a certain zikr or khatam that they do often, that is known as khatm-e khajgan. And in the khatm, which is khatm of khatmul awliya, because the term is Farsi, so sometimes we don't understand what it means. It means the khatm that was done by the awliya kiram, or the hizb, or the wirdul awliya. Translated in English, it comes into Arabic, it comes to wirdul awliya, awradul awliya. So what is the objection to something which is wird or awrad of awliya? And that is, that is to read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, la malja wa la manja min Allah illa ilayh. This kalima, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, is part of the khatb-e khajgan, or the wirdul awliya, or the hizbul awliya. And in it, there is a lot of power in this kalima, and it is a treasure from Jannah, and it is a cure for many problems. So we should recite this la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah with conviction when the urge for sin is there, and it should be part of our ma'amulat. We should try and read this regularly, abundantly, as much as possible. We should read it, but remember, read it with the correct zeal, the correct manner, the correct place, not as a kind of a license to continue perpetrating more guna and sin. Allah give us tawfiq. Recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa lana Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina wa lana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma huwa ahlu. اللهم لك الحمد والشكر ولك المن وفضله اللهم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا ملجأ ولا منجا من الله إلا إليه اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار رب اغفر وارحم واعف وتكرم وتجاوز ما تعلم إنك تعلم ما لا نعلم إنك أنت الله الأعز الأكرم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين يا الله forgive all our sins يا الله يا الله do not take us to task for our sins that we committed knowingly unknowingly purposely, deliberately, or accidentally. Ya Allah, whether we committed the major sins or minor sins, open sins or hidden sins. Ya Allah, forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Make our maghfirat completely, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, wipe out and delete and erase all the sins from our records, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, clean our slate out of guna and sin totally, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not let us face the repercussions of our sins in this dunya, nor in the akhirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, do not let us taste the, Ya Allah, the consequences, the evil, dreadful consequences of our guna and sin in the life of this world and nor in the akhirat. Ya Allah, make our maghfirat, Ya Allah, before the consequences of sins are unleashed upon us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we acknowledge our shortcoming and wrongdoing. Ya Allah, we accept the fact, Ya Allah, that we were very negligent. Ya Allah, we were heedless, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we were audacious, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we were audacious like criminals, Ya Allah. We audaciously, flagrantly, and Ya Allah, violated your orders and commands, Ya Allah, without fear of the repercussions, without fear of your azab and punishment, without shame in our eyes, Ya Allah, for disobeying, Ya Allah, benefactor like you, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, we acknowledge our wrongdoing. We accept our shortcomings. Ya Allah, we beg for forgiveness. Ya Allah, we beg for forgiveness. Ya Allah, we are begging for forgiveness. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, hame maaf farma. Hamare gunahon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, hamare khataon se dar guzar farma. Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, forgive our sins, Ya Allah. Do not hold us accountable for our masiyat and sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not unleash, Ya Allah, the terrible, dire consequences of our deeds upon us in this dunya or the akhirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we will perish, Ya Allah. We will perish, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. We will not be able to bear it, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us maghfirat, grant us forgiveness. Ya Allah, we sincerely making tawbah. Ya Allah, hamari tawbah ko qubool farma. Tawbah ya ilahi. Tawbah ya rabbi. Tawbah ya ilahi. Tawbah. Ya tawwab. Ya tawwab, tub alayna. Ya tawwab, tub alayna. Allahumma taqabbal tawbatana. Allahumma taqabbal tawbatana. Waqsil hawbatana. Waqsil hawbatana. Ya Allah, waqfir dhunubana. Waqfir dhunubana. واستر عيوبنا واستر عيوبنا واشرح صدورنا واشرح صدورنا يا الله accept our tawbah, accept the tawbah of the whole ummah, make our maghfirat and make maghfirat of the whole ummah. And ya Allah, whatever lifespan we have ahead of us, ya Allah, grant us tawfiq of itaat and obedience, save us from a lifestyle of masiyat and sin, keep us away even from the asbab of sin. Ya Allah, asbab-e maasiyat se mubaadat naseeb farma. Keep us away even from the factors that take a person close to sin. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, drive a big wedge between us and guna and sin. Open a huge valley and trench between us and guna and sin. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, grant us a life of ita'at. Grant us a life of taqwa and taharat. Ya Allah, if by mistake we commit a sin due to human failing and due to human weakness, we beg you, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, grant us tawfiq of tawbah speedily, rapidly. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to make tawbah, Ya Allah, to repent, Ya Allah, before the consequences of those gunas are unleashed upon us, Ya Allah. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us afiyat, grant us barakat, grant us rahmat, grant us hidayat, Ya Allah. Grant us the purification of our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the rust from our hearts, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Grant shifa to those who are ill, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fulfill the needs of all those who are in need. Ya Allah, remove the debts of those who are in debt. Ya Allah, take away the problems and suffering of those who are suffering in problems, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, through your fazl and karam, accept all our du'as. Grant us the best of dunya. Grant us the best of akhirat. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.